The youth rally weekend is, as far as size-wise, is the biggest event of the year here. It's the biggest preaching event in this part of the country, this in Western North Carolina, and the biggest youth rally that I've ever heard tell of. And I'm not saying that bragging. I'm saying that so we can get a hold of it, to realize what a responsibility we have to be ready. It'd be a tragedy if all those young people came all this distance and then us be dead and not have anything to give them and set on the table. And it really gets on me this time of year. This time of year it gets on me so heavy, and the school building has just about kind of just pushed everything out for the last few weeks. But I've kind of made a vow in my heart to the Lord for the next 3 weeks, beginning tomorrow morning, that even the building is going to have to take a back seat in my own heart as I prepare myself spiritually for that weekend. We'll be having that Friday night service with Brother Tom Shuey. He's delivered from drugs, and he's going to be giving a good testimony. If you know young people, that would be a good warm-up service for them. Then on Saturday evening at 3 o'clock, youth groups and youth choirs and young preachers, we have some outstanding young preachers coming that evening. Now, a lot of times, traditionally, a lot of you have missed that evening service. And I don't want you to do that this year. I want you to be in the evening service. You got time to go home and change clothes between those two and get back for the night service while we're feeding them supper. We'll break at 5:30, so you still got an hour and a half before big service. And then, of course, the giant service that morning, or that night rather, on the 22nd. And as I said, there's a bunch of new groups coming that have never been here before. There's no telling. There's no telling how many young people. I got to thinking about this. Now, I want all our young people to listen to this. As I said this morning, there's somewhere in New York, in South Carolina, in Alabama, or Florida, or Georgia, or Delaware, or Connecticut, or Pennsylvania, or Maryland, or some parts of Hickory or down in that area, there's a mother praying in the next few weeks. And here's what she's praying. She's praying, God, you know I can't do nothing with them. God, if you could get a hold of my teenager's heart. Lord, I went and heard that New Manna Youth Choir sing, and I'd give anything if my boy could be like one of them boys, or my girl could be like one of them girls. God, please, Lord. Lord, please, I'm going to take him to that youth rally. Lord, please do something for him. You think of the heartache some mothers are going through over their teenagers. And they know that putting them in a delinquent center ain't the answer. They know jail's not the answer. They know juvenile homes not there. Most time they come out worse. They're saying, here's the answer. This youth rally is the answer for my boy or girl. And it'd be sad if some of you girls was fussing at each other over a boyfriend and quenched the Spirit of God and caused that kid to be lost. It'd be sad if some of you boys were playing it cool and wanting to be Miss Cool Guy and lost your testimony and not let God use you like He can and has used you in the past. Now, I know it's hard on you. It ain't easy for any of us. The devil fights us all. Amen? If you teenagers think when you get 24, the devil's going to quit fighting you, you've got another thing coming. You don't ever quit as long as you're in this life. And I'll tell you what I'd love to see. I'd love to see when they begin to sing that night at the youth rally that the absolute power of God just moved through this place. The wind blow through. Boy, I'll tell you, you can tell it. Can't you tell it when the wind blows, the wind, the pitch of the Holy Spirit? Just something just goes across here and everything just breaks just like that. Friday evening, we went down there to sing and we had some good time. Boy, Friday evening, we got up here and the bus was filling up and cars. There's about 70 went with me to church Friday night. And I felt like when we got on the bus, man, everybody's backslid. Something just ain't right. There's just an old, you know, you've been in school all week, and school all week rubs off on you. And I said, all right, as soon as we get on a little bit straighter road, we're going to sing. So I grabbed the guitar out, went about halfway back on the bus, and I said, let's sing. And it started out just, every song got a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. First thing you know, them words started getting real. We sung for about an hour. God started blessing. And then I said, all right, let's have a prayer meeting. Man, we had a prayer meeting by the time we got there, didn't we? Amen. We had a time on that bus Friday evening, and God blessed us. And when they got up to sing that night, Friday night, when them kids got up to sing in that church, kids, people just started getting up, coming to the altar, just like they did here a few minutes ago. Now, it makes a difference what kind of spirit the singers are in. Like the Parker family here a while ago, singing in the spirit, brother. That makes all the difference. God's not interested in our talent. The world's got plenty of talent, brother. They can put us to shame when it comes to talent. But I tell you what, we got something they ain't got. We got the Spirit of the living God can come upon us if our life matches our talk. And we got the talkie, walkie. Our walkies got to match our talkie. Amen. Now the Bible said here, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I want you to do. Get ready for the youth rally. I'm just going to read this scripture. He said in verse 14, if my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's what we need to do. Seek the face of God and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I've never preached that in regards to a youth rally before, but I really felt like this week God wanted me to preach tonight to get us to commit ourselves to do three things. One, we need to pray and seek God's face. Number two, we need to turn from our wicked ways. And number three, we need to try to get everybody we can in those services. And then that's all we can do. Now, if we do all we can do, God will do what we can't do. We got to do what we can do. We can't sit and say, God, do this and that when God wants us to do it. We got to do what we can do, then God will do what we can't do. Like a fellow sitting over here saying, I'm freezing to death. And there's a big stack of wood over here. Somebody says, why don't you build your fire? He says, no, God will do it. I'll just pray and God will. No, God's already supplied the need. He's just too lazy to go over there and get the wood and build him a fire. Don't ask God to do what you can do. Ask God to do what you can't do. You do what you can do. Now, here's the way else to commit our hearts to pray for the next few weeks. I got several thoughts on my heart. One would be, get you a prayer partner. You could choose that person tonight. Let's just say me and Brother Dale here, me and Brother Jonathan, Donnie, one of these fellas. Let's say that I said, hey, how about me and you agreeing to pray? We don't even have to be together. Let's just say every night at 10 o'clock or whatever, be down on our knees praying for the service. Let's commit together to do that. I believe God will honor that if enough of God's people pray and seek His face. You know, when one of my kids comes up and they say, Daddy, can I have some ice cream? Most of the time, the first time, I'll just say, no. If they say, Daddy, can I have some ice cream? I'll say, be quiet now. You don't need none. You just had a candy bar a while ago. And they'll say, Daddy, can I have some ice cream? If they keep, a lot of times they'll keep on and on and on and on and on. Now, when that happens, you're either going to smack them or you're going to give it to them, right? But you're going to do something. You're not going to just keep listening to them beg and beg and beg and beg. I remember my bulldog who died now and gone somewhere. I don't know where she went. But that was the best dog you ever seen. Had the best temperament, English bulldog. And an English bulldog, if you know anything about them, they can flat do some eating. I mean, brother, they're sick. They can be sick, man, and eat while they're sick. And they always got an appetite. I mean, it's awful to say, but that thing having puppies, man, could eat. You throw a food, it's awful. But they just always have an appetite. And this dog, she'd stand right there at the door. We got a glass door in our kitchen looking out there on the deck behind the house. And she'd stand just like this. And you know how they slobber? And you better put that mouth up against that door. We've been there eating. She'd be doing like this. We'd slobber run down the window of that door. And there'd be another old dog just laying out there in the woods or laying out there in the grass. And you know something? I wouldn't even think about that dog. I wouldn't even think about it until I looked over there and there was. And you know, I'd put my plate down. She'd watch you put that plate down. You stand up, she's standing up. She watches you. You start to rake them scraps off in the trash can. And something says, you couldn't do that, could you? Boy, I take them outside, open the door like this, go out there and give them something. You know why she got the food? Because she's just looking at me, watching every move I make, saying, I want it, I want it. Got anything I can help? I want it. Got anything I can help?
Boy, I'll tell you, if our church got that way after God, you see, there's a lot of Christians just laying out there in the weeds. They don't want nothing, and they don't get nothing. But if what if every time the Lord looked down here, He saw us looking at Him like that? Got anything for us, Lord? I mean, like for hours and hours and hours here in the next few weeks. I'm talking about maybe sometimes a whole day or a whole night. We'll be having all night prayer meeting, Lord willing, 1 week from Friday night, the Friday night before Easter Sunday morning. All night prayer meeting. That may mess up our work a little bit, but the souls of these young people are more important than the work. They're more important than the camp, more important than the school building. Amen? Hey, you're going to have all that prayer meeting to pray and seek the face of God. And if we say, Lord, throw me something down here. And the Lord says, well, there's a lot of people praying. And we say, Lord, throw me something down here. And the Lord, every time He looks down, here we are again. First thing you know, buddy, He's going to sweep us off some handfuls on purpose and dump His blessings up on our church like never before. If we'll get hungry and thirsty and seek the face of God. Young people, let me beseech you. Let me beg. Let me challenge you. Let me encourage you. Spend some time seeking the face of God Almighty here in the next few weeks before that meeting comes. You say, I want to see all my friends and have a good time. That's fine, but you don't have the power of God like that. You can be saved and enjoy life like that, but you don't have the power of God like that. Wouldn't it be a blessing if your date consisted of a good long Holy Ghost prayer meeting? There's a gang of them up here last night. There's about 50 last Saturday night. There's about 60 the night before that getting up here. And that's young people mostly wanting to pray on Saturday night. That's good. That's a blessing. We get hungry, God will do something. You know what's wrong with most of you people? You're not hungry. You're pretty satisfied like you are. Or else, you've been knocked down so many times you just got to fight. But either way, you need to seek God. Seek God. You say, I don't have no desire to seek Him. Seek Him anyway. You say, I don't feel nothing. That's when it's going to get good, if you'll just pray and seek the face of God. Man, I remember those times we had those all-night prayer meetings up here. And you lay up here and pray, and it just seems like you're beating on your head against the wall. And it seems like it ain't getting nowhere. I mean, doing nothing. You think, oh, this ain't done no good. And the night comes when that service starts. And about the time that first song starts, boy, here it comes. The Lord bless him. That's no accident, folks. Give me up just a hair on this, Brother Roy. I'm going to talk to you just a second. I'll never forget that night at camp. I was telling somebody, a preacher called. I called him back and I was talking to him down in Hickory. I believe it was this morning. Or yesterday morning, I can't remember. And I was telling him about the young people. And I said, boy, we got a bunch of young people on fire for God. Guys, this morning he said, boy, that's good. I was telling him when it happened. I said, it happened last July. He said, man, that's good. Years don't last no time. And I said, usually that's right. You know, everybody gets stirred up. They light stay on fire for a week or two, and then it kind of dies down. But I said, this has been going on since last July. And he said, boy, that's a good sign. He said, that's great. Now, I want to tell you something, kids. You remember that night at camp last year when the glory of God come down? You remember that morning when I got up and I said, everybody pray. We've got to pray. We've got to pray. We've got to pray. And boy, everybody did pray. And remember what a terrible evening I had that day? Man, it was hot. And I was trying to get those rock music slides put together. They fell out on the floor and then it wouldn't show on the screen. And I just scattered them out. I didn't take a shower. It was about 15 minutes till 7 before I could even run down there and change clothes for the service. And I was, the whole time in my mind, I felt like it was about to pop. And I was saying, God, help us, God. Off in the distance, I could hear them boys down there on that floating dining room. And buddy, somebody was getting plugged in. I don't know who it was, but somebody broke through. I tell you, they could have been just goofing off, flirting the girls, doing this and that. Them boys are down there and they're just walking around saying, oh God! Oh God! Boy, it's like a sweet smell was going up through that sky. And it's just like the Lord spoke to me and said, don't worry, everything's going to be alright. That night we got up and started singing the first song. The first song. I mean, it didn't take no time. It just started listening up in there. The youth choir began to sing, He is mine. On the second verse of that song, God moved in that place. They began to respond. Then after they sung, Here Come Reggie and His Family, and God began to get in it more and more and more. That night I never got but about maybe 90% through the message, and chairs started flying back, knocked over. People just started flood. We just shut her down, had the invitation, and God moved in an unusual huge way, in a mighty and powerful way. And there's lives, there's churches, there's roots that have never been the same since that one night. You know why? Because God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, it's still available tonight. God's still got as much power as He ever had. You say, oh, Brother Danny, I'd love to get something like that. You can get a blessing like that again. Just remember, the happiest you've ever been in Jesus, the most filled with the Spirit of God you've ever been, it can happen again. God's not run out of grace. He's not run out of power. He's got enough power in 1995 as He did in 1994. He's still a throne. He's still able to bless us. If we'll pay the price, God's able. Now the Bible said we've got to turn from our wicked ways. Are you willing to do that? Some of you young people are doing things tonight that you wouldn't have been doing 8, 10 months ago. You say, how do you know? I can tell by looking at you. I mean, I've been doing this so long now, I can just look at you and tell when you're backslid. Sometimes I walk up to one of them and I say, what's wrong with you? And they'll say, how'd you know? You just got this look on your face. It's like a cloud's over you. When you're right with God, you shine. It's just like a light's coming out of your eyes, man. And you can just see it. You can just show it. I'll tell you what, brother, it could be a blessing right now, right now. There's a youth choir in Rochester, New York. They sing. What a blessing it is. Best Yankee youth choir I ever heard. And buddy, they're getting up and singing. And the preacher told me, he said they never would even get up and sing till they started coming down to camp. Right? The same thing in Colorado. Same thing with the group. Listen, you kids don't know. You young people don't realize what an influence. That's why the devil fights you so much. If I was you kids here tonight, buddy, I'd make up my mind. I'm going to get all the sin out of my life. I'm going to get everything wrong out. I don't want nothing. It's under God's power from blessing me. I'm only going to be one young time. One time you're going to be a teenager gone. Pretty soon you're going to be 20, 21, 22, 23. Listen, kids, while you've got a chance, let God Almighty use you. Get on fire for God. Listen, break. Get on fire for God. Don't let nothing stop you. Get fired up, boys. Get turned from your wicked ways. Anything you're doing wrong, TV, movies, anything like that you're doing that you see and say ain't right and all that, get rid of it. Turn from your wicked ways. You say, Brother Danny, when I first came back from camp, I wouldn't even listen to no rock and roll or nothing like that. But now I don't see nothing wrong with it because you've got way over here, away from God. If it's wrong then, it's wrong now. Mamas and niece, how about you? We need to turn from our wicked ways. You're not going to fuss and fight at home and bless each other out and wish you they have died or something and then God fill you with His Spirit. You know what marriage is tonight? Your marriage is a commitment. Love is not something you feel. Y'all listen to me? All you married people, listen to me. Love is not something you feel. Now, thank God you can feel it once in a while. But love, not something you feel. Love is something you do. God wouldn't command you to feel a certain way. But He commanded you to love. Right? Love your neighbor, love your brother, love your wives. The women teach the younger women to love. If it's a feeling, how come the Bible says for the older women to teach the younger women to love their husband? If it's a feeling that comes natural. You girls are crazy nowadays. You think, well, I'm not in love anymore. Well, maybe we need to let some of these older people take you in the prayer room and teach you to love your husband. Amen. The truth is, you say, my love's wore off. No, the feelings wore off. See, love is a command. Love is something you do. What does the Bible say? For God so loved the world that He gave. You know what you do? You choose. I heard a lady giving a testimony the other day. She said, our marriage was almost ready to fall apart. She said, there was no feeling between us. She said, it was gone. She said, we were living together and we couldn't stand each other. She said, I didn't care nothing about him. He didn't care nothing about me. It just, where we couldn't stand it anymore. She said, I knew we had to either just separate or try to do something about it. She said, we got down. We both realized that marriage is a commitment. We realized that it was more commitment to God than it was to each other. She said, we made a vow to God to stay with each other till one of us died. And she said this. She said, I determined that I was going to put all my affection and time into my husband, and I didn't even feel it. But she said, well, I was going to determine I was going to do it anyway. And she said, it wasn't long till the feelings came back. And what happens is people start thinking, I don't love you anymore, so I want out. And they start looking at options. Divorce should not be an option for a Christian. We shouldn't even think like that. Now, if your mate runs off of you and leaves you and everything, I ain't talking to you. You can't help it. But if two people's right with God and they're both saved, they shouldn't think about divorce. They should say, hey, we're partners. We can work this out. We can get together. There's nothing that us and God can't overcome. It's a commitment. It's a commitment. I'm committing myself to you. You're my partner. Now, we're going to disagree. We understand that. But we've got to learn how to disagree and get on with our life and not get hard feelings. And not. How come you can be nice to everybody else, but you can't be nice to your mate? You heard about the old man and the old woman that was walking up. They was on a scenic parkway somewhere, and they was real old. And they walked up, and they said, right up there is a wishing well. You know, you can wish, and your wish come true. And they went up there, and they both looked over in it like this, you know. They looked over, and the old woman flipped and fell in. And the old man said, by George, it works. That's awful. That's awful. At least he wasn't thinking about divorce, amen. Somebody asked a preacher one time, said, I've been married 30-something years. They said, preacher, have you ever thought about divorce there? He said, no, sir. No, sir. Yes. But not divorce. Amen. Well, we got to turn from our wicked ways. We got to. I mean, there ain't no two ways about it. We've got to turn from our wicked ways. But I said, if all the sleeping folk, wake out of sleep. High time. Somebody wrote a little poem and said, if all the sleeping folk wake up, all the lukewarm people will fire up, all the dishonest will confess up, all the disgruntled will sweeten up, all the discouraged will cheer up, all the depressed will look up, all the estranged will make up, all the gossipers will shut up, all the dry bones will shake up, and all the soldiers stand up, and all the church members pray up, then we can have a revival. I believe in these next few nights as we do, we need to make a commitment to God. We're going to do a couple of things. We're going to pray, get you a prayer partner, and say, you be my prayer partner for this week. Pray every day at a certain time, meet together at lunch where you work, meet up here at the church, whatever. I've done kind of got it marked what I want to do here in the next few days. And then this, doing this fast. The Lord said in Matthew 17, this kind cometh by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I guess I fasted more for the last youth rally than I ever won, and it showed too, buddy. It showed. I could tell it. It was just as clean and pure in here that night. Boy, it's just like the pure blessings of God. You know what that comes from? It comes from not eating. Not eating. That's all. Deny that belly, brother. Deny that belly. I'm not going to eat today. And every time your belly says, you're killing me, say, you shut up. You're not going to die. You'll probably live a lot longer. And brother, do without that food. And say, every time your belly hurts, say, God bless that service. God bless the youth rally. God, get a hold of those young people, God, and determine in your heart. Fast, man. Fast. Look, we got 3 weeks. You could do one day a week and fast 3 days between now and then. Or you could do 2 days or through that. And I mean, just do it as God lays it on your heart. Here's what you think. You think, I can't fast and work. Oh, yeah, you can too. Years ago, when I first started fasting, I thought, well, I can't fast and preach. You know, it's so hard and so much strain. I'm just talking tonight. Boy, when I go off, sometimes I really get to preaching. I mean, it's work. And boy, I say, I can't preach and fast. And you know something? The days that I fast, usually I have more energy and my mind thinks clear than any other day of the week when I'm preaching revival. It's amazing. You eat a big supper and then try to do something like that and you're just sluggish. And it does something to you. The Bible said their God's their belly. We need to fast. We need to fast. Would you be willing to do without a meal or miss a day's food to keep somebody out of hell or to see some young people's life straight? What if it was your kid? What if it was my kid? You better believe we'd do it. You better believe it. That's what I think we ought to do here in the next few weeks. All right, let's stand. Bow our heads.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you to just make some kind of commitment to the Lord tonight. You might want to just ask God what He'd have you to do. And let's bear down. Let's bear down spiritually and apply ourselves here in the next few weeks. Dear Lord Jesus, help us tonight. Oh God. Father, we need Your help tonight. We're nothing without You. Put it upon our hearts. We can't just decide to have a burden. Lord, give us a burden. Place a burden on our heart for lost souls. Help us to determine in our heart from this night on to that youth rally, Lord, that we'll have a burden for sinners. We'll fast. We'll pray. We'll invite others. We'll try to do what we can. In Jesus' name, amen.